Toast.
Toast.
Right here. Right now. Most important thing in life will always be the
Movie Squad.
Salute me, familia.
Welcome to the Movie Squad podcast. My name is Tristan Fidler.
And my name is Simon Murata.
This is an official RTRFM podcast where we share our weekly edition of Movie Chat as heard on Breakfast with Taylor every Friday morning, 7:30 a.m. On RTRFM 92.1, we cover new cinema releases and new streaming releases. Wherever a movie is released, we'll review it.
And that's our creed.
That's our motto. For this episode, what movies did we look at?
Well, kicking off October, we looked at horrors, real and fictional. We started with Nitram, the new film from director Justin Kurzel about one of the greatest tragedies in Australian history, and talked about sort of the debate about what we should be making movies about. So a bit of a content warning, I would say, on that conversation, but hopefully a valuable chat nonetheless.
And then looking at a new film on the horror streaming service Shudder, the film Seance, a horror movie that, in comparison to Nitram, is a bit lighter in fare, but still might spook a few people, but is a great way to start your Halloween spooky movie viewing season. So, yeah, please enjoy.
When he was a little boy, we used to play a game at the fabric shop in town. He'd go off and hide in all the big, tall rolls of fabric, and then I'd try and find it. He loved it. I loved it. But then this one day, I went to find him, and he wasn't there. He lived everywhere. Not in the silks, not in the cottons. Ran into all the shops. Strangers were stopping to help me. Tears streaming down my face.
What did you do?
I gave up and went back to the car. But then I heard someone laughing. I looked around. And there he was. Lying on the floor of the back seat, looking up at me, laughing. Laughing at my pain.
It is 7:30 on your Friday morning. It is time to have a look at what is making waves at the box office. For the right or the wrong reasons, we'll find out very soon. It's Movie Squad, Tristan and Simon. Good morning, folks.
Good morning. Good morning.
We're going to start, Simon, this morning with something that is out in WA cinemas this week, Nitram.
Yes, very controversial movie. The latest film from director Justin Kurzel, who sort of made his bones on films about sort of the dark corners of Australia's Australian society and Australia's most notorious figures. His film Snowtown from 10 years ago now, one of the most visceral experiences I think I've ever had in a cinema. Tristan, I don't know how you felt when you saw Snowtown, but I can still picture myself, you know, in the cinema as the dread is building, built around the Snowtown murders. Jed Kurzel, Justin Kurzel's brother from the mess hall, providing the droning score. I thought I was going to be sick, but not from the gore, just from the dread of it all.
Yeah, Snowtown is, you know, we've often talked about it, and you've coined this term, one and done, and definitely that's for me, like, one viewing was all I needed. I mean, it's a very powerful film in that it just makes you feel sick, and I remember just wanting to have a warm bath of human compassion after this, the awfulness. And I remember talking to a staff member at Luna, and it was high up there for record number of walkouts in a film. And it's been interesting to follow his career, which has gone up and down. I mean, I haven't seen his version of Macbeth, but Assassin's Creed is an interesting one to throw in there. And then The True History of the Kelly Gang, which I thought was very interesting, but a bit mixed. But yeah, returning back to, I guess, notorious mass murderers in this new film.
Absolutely. And Macbeth I didn't really care for very much. Assassin's Creed was a total dog's breakfast. But I think when he's in this milieu, for whatever reason, he seems to click quite well with the material and the subject matter. And there's a very valid debate that began when this film was announced and will rage on as to whether you should even make a movie about Martin Bryant, which is the subject of Nitram. And the film goes about avoiding uttering his name, which I think is a moral and a good choice. I'll identify him, against my preferred wishes on the air, but that is the subject of the movie. But in the film, the character of Martin Bryant is referred to as Nitram or Nitram. I actually, Taylor, you asked me for the pronunciation, and it's an interesting sort of nickname he has in the movie that he doesn't quite like. But like Snowtown, Nitram is trying to at least shine a light on how a terrible thing can happen. And Snowtown, as grisly and unpleasant as it was, I did think it was quite a moral movie and it had a point of view, because it's ultimately about how sort of far-right ideology takes root in communities that are feeling disenfranchised, that are looking for a scapegoat, and how a very charismatic figure can take advantage of that for their own sort of psychopathic purposes. So there's actually a point of view in Snowtown. And the same goes here, but it's a slightly different perspective, in that we are watching the years leading up to the tragedy at Port Arthur, the worst mass shooting in Australian history, by looking at Nitram's life in those years. And his parents are played by Anthony LaPaglia and Judy Davis. And I should say that Nitram himself is played by Caleb Landry-Jones, an American actor of great intensity, but a really good actor. People may know him from the Safdie Brothers' Heaven Knows What. Mm. Also Get Out, Three Billboards in Ebbing, Missouri. Plenty of films. But he does have this uncanny resemblance to Martin Bryant. And as far as the film depicts him, he's this sort of this strange outsider, this loner, this weirdo, who is both being coddled by his parents, but they are clearly detached from him as well. And we get, in the very first scene, archival footage of the real Martin Bryant as a child in a Burns unit, basically being interviewed by the ABC, who've said, how did you get in here? He explains that, firecrackers went off in his hand, and they ask, well, will you play with firecrackers again? And he says, yeah, of course. And that's probably as deep into the psyche as we're going to get of this character. It's not trying to present us with excuses or reasons that lead up to why he would commit that atrocious shooting at Port Arthur, but we do get a glimpse at the circumstances. And the key one seems to be a friendship, a relationship he sparks up with this sort of strange heiress, another lonely soul played by Essie Davis, who's Justin Kurzel's wife in real life. And she has a lot of money and a lot of access to cash. And once Nitram also gets access to that, it just sets off this chain of events that lead to tragedy, as we know. Taylor, being a journalist, coming from the world of having to cover things that are fairly unpleasant, how do you feel when you hear that a movie is being made, a form of, entertainment ultimately, but art is being made about something that could be fairly triggering and problematic?
It's so interesting. I didn't really get a chance to fully absorb what our movies were about this week, so I haven't seen either of them. But yesterday, before I realised what this film was about, I saw a former lecturer of mine has just had his PhD published in this exact specific region about reporting on mass shooting and why we should or shouldn't do it. So the timing, I can't help think is fitting. Look, personally, I think that there is part duty to do so. When it wavers into the sphere of art, I don't really know where I stand. Was there like this much of a reaction or this much of a conversation when Snowtown was released? I was in high school then, and I've actually never seen Snowtown.
Yeah, look, not to the same extent, but the conversation was there from my memory, Tristan. Maybe you remember it better than I do, but I think this is such a raw moment in Australian history. Snowtown, you could at least disassociate to the degree that it was, you know, it involved criminals, right? It involved, you know, the it was horrific what happened nonetheless, but you could separate it from proper and normal society, whereas the Port Arthur massacre was a very severe intrusion on our norms. And we like to think in Australia that at the very least, because of that, we reformed our gun laws and now are the envy of the world. But here's where I think Justin Kurzel and the writer of the film, Sean Grant, make their smartest move, and why this is also a moral movie and I think, you know, an ultimate motive for them to make it, is that throughout the film, Caleb Landry-Jones and his performance, we come to realize we're not going to access this guy. We're not going to be able to understand how he becomes who he is, except to say there are so many different factors, behavioral, genetic, societal, whatever you want to pin it on. But this guy is unavailable to us. But what is available are the laws and the sort of the parameters we can set around society. I mean, it's a conversation we're having right now with vaccines and with masks and et cetera. But as we see Nitram purchase guns with great ease, we start to understand, okay, well, this is why you need parameters in a society, right, to protect others. And the film doesn't show the tragedy. And it ends instead with some text explaining what happens. But the most startling piece of text is saying that in actuality, the gun law, there are more guns in Australia today than there were at the point of the shooting. So, Tristan, I don't know how you feel about the way art tackles these moments of tragedy. You can pin it to films about the Holocaust even, you know. Sure. This isn't it's not just about shootings, movies like Elephant. How do you feel when one of these movies comes up on the radar?
Well, I haven't seen this film yet, and I'm interested in it, but also trepidatious. And I think it's sometimes that thing where, you know, we can take, and, you know, true crime is very popular. Like, over the years, podcasts, television shows, documentaries, there is a curiosity and an interest in kind of, you know, being close to these, you know, unimaginable tragedies and just displays of inhumanity. But, you know, we can take in things that happen in other places, but when it is close to home, that's when, you know, it's interesting that these conversations really kind of flare up and should be had. I'm curious about it. It sounds like a bit more of a measured film than Snowtown, which was really, you know, brutal to the point that I remember Richard Wilkins, you know, calling it a snuff movie. So it sounds like it's more kind of approaching things in a conceptual way rather than trying to, I guess, rub your nose in it or something. I'm not sure. But I was curious about this film. I do think sometimes, yeah, things can be exploitative, and then other times maybe it's a way to kind of try and think about and reckon with these things when sometimes they just kind of flow in, you know, a new cycle and just kind of remain a bit detached from our experience. I'm not sure, but I was curious as well about the casting of Caleb Landry-Jones, because he's an actor who's interesting, but I've seen him go quite, you know, he is kind of intense and can go really over the top. So that was my thing of like, I don't know about this has the capacity to go in the wrong direction.
Yeah, no, he's really good here. And again, it's not about going, oh, he makes the character sympathetic, because that's not what this film is doing. But we're kidding ourselves if we think that we walk amongst, you know, literal monsters. Monsters are human, right? And there are facets to them, the ones that we have to deal with on a day-to-day basis. And I think he gives a lot of, he shows a lot of that complexity, but also that inaccessibility. Anthony LaPaglia and Judy Davis are also great. Essie Davis kind of has the biggest performance because she's playing this sort of Grey Gardens-esque figure, but she's also really good here and sympathetic too. So really good performances. It's not a film you're going to be chomping away at the popcorn on. And we joke around about like, hey, I'm in 90 minutes, I'm out, I'm happy. That's why I go to the movies. But for the most part, you know, we have made this agreement, certainly on Movie Squad, but I like to think in society as well, that movies are art. You know, they are they began as a novelty at the Nickelodeon, and now we've got artists working on them, and when they're not making Fast and Furious movies, they're making things for us to go and consider. And I think Nitram doesn't try and say, here's why it happened, here's what we need to do next. And I don't think that's the job of this movie or art in general. But I know that, you know, walking out, I've been wrestling with a lot of it, both even the debate about whether it should exist, and I think there's value in that. So besides it being a very well-made film, I was very glad to have seen it, and I think I'm glad that it exists. It's not showing in Tasmanian cinemas. It's still very raw, and I completely respect that. It's in WA cinemas as of right now, and it will be on Stan in the coming months. It is a Stan production, so you'll be able to stream it in the nearish future. This is for those who want to go and wrestle with a movie, and you may not like what you see. It is not a violent film, but it is very disturbing and unsettling one. But, you know, what are we doing here as a society if we're not trying to figure out, like, how to be better, how to be good to one another, and how to make sure that things like this don't happen again? The movie doesn't have the answers, but we got to have the conversation.
Also good to be challenged sometimes by the art you consume.
Totally.
Let us know if you have seen this or if it is one that you are curious to go and see. Nitram is in WA cinemas this week. That is part one of Movie Squad on RTRFM. Or if you are listening later on at the Movie Squad podcast, we'll be back for part two in just a moment.
Camille Meadows, it's fortunate that a space has opened up for you here at Edelweiss. Our climate can be quite competitive.
This is our table. Scram.
No, I'm good here. That light keeps flickering.
It must be the ghost again.
Some girl supposedly killed herself in the dorms years ago.
I'm not sure I believe it.
What if I told you there's a way we can find out?
So you're gonna do a seance?
Spiritus oratio nostra. Oporte loquantur inter vos.
It's always a treat on Movie Squad when Tristan hands me a USB before we get on air and he says, I've got a track for you this week. And he did not disappoint. Tristan, this is something that you've told me is just called Spooky Trap. Do you want to fill in the blanks?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's the title and it's also kind of the sound of the genre, but it's by an artist called Sicker Man. And this is from the score of the next film that we're going to be discussing, Seance, which is a new horror film. So we go from real horrors to imagined horrors and how, you know, I think, I mean, horror movies when I was younger were just, you know, petrified me. I was always scared walking through the video store aisles and the imaginative covers. But I think in recent years, I appreciate horror as an escape from the world, which seems more horrifying than these monsters and slashers and killers or whatever. So, and this is a film that is premiering on, or has, it came out this week on the streaming service Shudder, which is devoted to horror movies. And we've talked about it in the past. Simon, you've seen a few films on Shudder.
Yeah,
and recommended,
you know, I love
a few.
Shudder. Shudder's been great for, you know, the more extreme horror films that aren't released elsewhere. Mm. We've talked about Violation. Oh, yeah. We talked about Violation, Scare Me. All those films debuted on Shudder. They're now available to rent, actually, as of this week, on or buy on digital DVD, Blu-ray, etc. But yeah, Shudder's a good go-to source, I find, when you just, all I want to watch tonight is horror.
Yeah, and they've got some, you know, classics on there in terms of some Halloween sequels and Puppet Master, you know, like, they do acquire films, some that they produce and some that they acquire, like this one. And the reason that I was interested in Seance was it's the directorial debut of Simon Barrett, who is a screenwriter who has worked in the past with Adam Wingard, and they made two films that I consider one of my favorites. One is a horror film called You're Next, and another was kind of like an action thriller called The Guest, which is, I think, also on Shudder, and I would definitely recommend that with Dan Stevens. He's someone that I'm interested in. He has a great fondness for certain type of horror films and recommends obscure ones. So yeah, he's going to make a movie. I'm interested in what it's going to be about. And it's basically about an all-girls boarding school kind of in a wintry location, classic setup for a scenario like this. And it flirts with a couple of genres. It starts off with a prank that goes horribly wrong. A student dies, and then the group of girls who were responsible for the prank sort of deal with the fallout, but also kind of just view it as something that happened. Into their midst comes a new person, a new student called Camille, who basically is given the opportunity of staying at this residential college because the other student died. So they're able to live in their room, which is not ideal when the lamps start to flicker and things start to be seen in corners. And this character is played by Suki Waterhouse, who some people might know as a model, an English model, who's been in a few films, including The Bad Batch, which is a very strange film that you can watch on Netflix, and a few other films, I think Pride and Prejudice versus Zombies. She's an interesting presence. She's definitely one of those model turned actors where you can tell, oh yeah, they were a model. But I think she has a great presence in this film, and it's really a cast of people who are didn't really know. There are a lot of young actors from films like After and shows like Into the Badlands. Anyway, this is basically a setup for she ingratiates herself in this kind of group, and they start to have fun one time when they're like sentenced to doing some work in the library. Hey, why not do a seance and see if we can contact this dead student? And yeah, as you would think, don't go messing around with the seance, don't go messing around with the Ouija board. And little do we know, one thing starts to happen, people start to kind of die one at a time. So it's in that mode of a kind of supernatural slasher thriller that has many different kind of antecedents or whatever. Now, Simon, you've seen You're Next.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Are you a fan? The thing is as well, Adam Wingard and Simon Barrett, they also made the Blair Witch movie.
Well, yes.
The very bad kind of reboot that happened a while back. But you're a fan of You're Next?
You're Next is really good. And they sort of emerged, not out of the mumblecore movement, but they were part of a community of actors and writers and directors who started subverting horror specifically, and they were doing really interesting things with it, this little sort of collective. And those two in particular, You're Next is a slasher film set in a house. There are intruders, if you will, but just the tone of it was so unique, and the goriness, I think, and the violence was different. There was something about it. So I was really excited by that film. I also like their contributions to the VHS and the ABCs of Death sort of anthology movies. Blair Witch was pretty unforgivable for me. The Blair Witch Project is one of my all-time favorite films. I was so excited to see what they would do with Blair Witch, and it was true garbage. So I'm definitely intrigued by seance, but even though it's been like 5-6 years, I haven't quite gotten over Blair Witch. Taylor, I don't know how you feel, if you've seen any of these movies, or just in general, how you feel about the boarding school horror trope.
Right. So you both know at this point that I'm not a horror fan, I'm not a gore fan. I have seen You're Next, and I actually do really like that film.
Yeah.
It's been a few years since I flicked it on, but I have seen it and I did appreciate it. I've also seen the remake to The Blair Witch, and it was, not great.
True garbage, is it?
Yeah. I don't know what it is about the boarding school trope, but I kind of like that half the work is already done. Feel like they're already kind of trapped in this place. And it provides like that sort of weird context of being at school at night. I don't know what it is, but since like a child, I found that really fascinating. So I can't believe I'm saying this, feel like this is one that I would actually get along to.
Yeah, and look, I liked Seance. I thought it was good. It's definitely kind of builds on You're Next. I remember reading someone recently describe the best thing about You're Next is that it's this horror movie, but then there's one character who's actually like knows what to do and is kind of like fights back effectively. And that's the kind of thriller of it, that it sort of starts off as a horror film and then starts to become an action movie as well. And there's a little bit of that in this, in that the film kind of meanders on and is kind of a bit sort of spooky and implies things, but there's not a lot of violence. And then in the last half hour, it sort of ratchets up the gore and kind of becomes a little bit of a different movie, not in the same way of Your Next, but a little bit. So I did like this film. It does bring to mind some classic kind of snow-based boarding school horrors. I think the best one of all is the original Black Christmas from the 70s. So creepy and effective.
Speaking about a remake.
Yeah. And remade twice. And this film also has an air of kind of, it feels like a bit of a throwback to the 90s wave of horror films on the back of Scream. Not the clever meta ones, but the ones like Valentine or whatever, like the ones that were just kind of like sort of teen TV stars in a movie together. You know,
urban legends.
Yes, yeah. So it's got that vibe as well. But I enjoyed it. As a horror film, it's not too repellent or kind of, I think, to me, the worst kind of horror movies are the sort of Saw ones or the ones where it's like torture, you know? It doesn't feel too much in that vein. So look, I enjoyed it. My expectations were a little bit measured. I think some people have mixed feelings about this one and don't rate it highly. But look, it was, to me, just like a good standard horror film with a satisfying climax. So, yeah.
How is he as a director, sorry, compared to Adam Wingard, though? So Adam Wingard has real skill behind the camera, yes. And Simon Barrett has a great sense of humour. How does that translate here?
Well, I think this is definitely a case of where, like, I'm looking forward to the next film because it feels like he's sort of getting his feet wet, as it were. Like, Adam Wingard has, like, his recent film was the Godzilla vs. Kong thing, and they're working together on, like, a weird sequel to Face Off or something like that. So, like, Adam Wingard's already kind of gone into the big leagues of Hollywood genre filmmaking. And Simon Barrett still is kind of in the low-budget terrain. But I think he is good. There's a nice sense of atmosphere. There's definitely references to films like the original Suspiria and kind of that kind of classic 70s thriller, but also these like 90s cliches as well. So look, it's not quite up there, I would say, with Adam Wingard, but I did like it. And it's available to watch on Shudder if you have access to it. And I think in time it'll be able to rent, but it's definitely a good one to start the spooky October Halloween season.
Yes,
of course.
As we march on further towards Halloween. Yeah.
When I heard this was a new streaming service, I thought, I can't be another one that I've got to pay for. And then I realised what it was and was like, it's all right. It's not for me. It's totally fine. That is Movie Squad for this week. Nitram and Seance. Let us know if you've seen either of these or you will. 0405 921 921. And don't forget, you can always play catch up with an extended listen on the Movie Squad podcast. It is available wherever it is that you get your podcast. From Tristan and Simon, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Back next week for more.
So there you have it. Two new movies at the time of recording reviewed and discussed. I think particularly in the first one, some very serious discussions about the purpose of films and art. And we cover it all here on Movie Squad.
We, 99% of the time, 51 weeks a year, we have stupid conversations about nonsense. Which is maybe not fair to us, Tristan, but yeah, I was glad to dig into Nitram a little bit and also glad to get the recommendation for Seance. Big thanks to Taylor Strano, the breakfast host who always has us on 7:30 a.m. Sounds like you converted her to watch a horror movie, which unto itself is an accomplishment.
Fantastic. So yeah, we are on Facebook, Movie Squad RTRFM, and our podcast is on iTunes, Spotify. Please rate and review us and please share with people who want two friendly voices discussing what's good. So yeah, thank you, Simon.
Thank you.